Peggy Sweeney McDonald joins us by phone tonight. She's the creator of Meanwhile, Back at Café du Monde, Life Stories About Food, which originally was a stage presentation and continues to be, and which she has now turned into a book combining those two things that so often go well together, food and stories. Peggy, who grew up in Louisiana, is president of Superstar Events LA and now lives in Los Angeles. Troy Kleinpeter, also from Louisiana, is the official photographer for the stage shows and for the photos in the book. Peggy, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here tonight.
I would like for you to start by telling us, those of us who may not be familiar with this, about Café du Monde, about its history. It's a quite old institution, and about what it's famous for.
Well, Café du Monde was created 150 years ago, 10 years before electricity. It is a coffee and beignet, the famous beignet little fried donuts with powdered sugar. When you go to Café du Monde, it's located in New Orleans. It is open 24 hours a day, every day except Christmas. It's family run. The Fernandez family bought it 70 years ago. So 2012 was actually their 150th anniversary and their 70th anniversary of the family owning it. It's in the French Quarter, and it's just one of those famous places that growing up in Louisiana, we always went there for Café au lait or milk or orange juice when we were kids, and everyone around the world knows it. Café du Monde means Café of the World. You know, it's covered, but you can hear the music all around. It's not completely enclosed. You hear jazz, and there's tourists all around, there's locals all around. So I say everyone has a Café du Monde. If you haven't been to the Café du Monde, you probably have your own Café du Monde where you get that special feeling that life is good.
Well, apparently there have been many celebrations as well as celebrities that have visited over the years, and it has perhaps a unique claim that a baby was born in the ladies' room.
Yes, Karen Benrood from the family has become a really dear friend of mine now. She wrote the foreword for the book, and she said she grew up, if her daddy came home not smelling like beignets, she knew something was wrong. They all worked in the family business, and when her grandfather bought it, they all just grew up with it. And when I had this idea to do the live shows, that was my story. That's my title story. That would be my food story, Meanwhile Back at Café du Monde. So I called them and asked them if I could get permission to use their name. And they actually loved the idea and so gave me permission and, of course, came to the first show in New Orleans. And I've just become really good friends with them. And then when I was doing the book, you know, I went back to them and said, I want to do a book with all these stories from the shows. And since it was their 150th anniversary, the year the book was coming out, I was able to put their history and vintage pictures in the book, which is really pretty special.
As I understand it, your idea to connect food and stories actually first came to you when a friend of yours, Lisa, was trying to recover from a serious breakup around Thanksgiving and decided to do it.
I was actually an actress turned event producer who, because of the economy, I was a corporate meeting and event producer. All my clients were going away. No one was doing the big events I was doing. I went home to Louisiana for Thanksgiving almost 3.5 years ago, and Lisa came down from Shreveport where she was working on a movie. I said, how was your Thanksgiving? And it was the day after Thanksgiving, and she rolled her eyes, and she told me how she was so depressed being away from her family and having to go to the orphan Thanksgiving dinner with all the people working in Shreveport from L.A., that she went and bought this coconut pie from Strawn's, a famous diner in Shreveport that has the best pies, and she brought it back to her corporate apartment with her two cats, opened up a bottle of wine, cooked herself dinner, and by 6:30 had finished the bottle of wine and was craving something sweet, and all she had was that pie. So she ended up eating the whole pie that night. So when she told me that story, I said, this is so funny. This is, tell my mom, tell my cousin, tell my niece, and all weekend it got funnier and funnier. And then I said, this is like one of those monologue shows, and maybe I'll just create my own event. So that's how it all started, and it'll be 3 years in May next month since the first show. The Myrtles Plantation was the first show, and of course Lisa flew in from L.A., and I flew in. We had all these local Baton Rouge foodies who my family all knew, these people who all were connected with food in Baton Rouge. They all were in the show, and I say it snowballed. It's like the beignet gets bigger and bigger and sweeter because I've had over 250 people in the shows. Done over 36 shows from Mississippi, Louisiana, and California, and now the book came out in the fall. So it's been one of those amazing journeys. And what's been so cool is we've done it in so many cool restaurant venues. I've done it in a barbecue place in Jackson, Mississippi. I've done it in a plantation in Natchez. I've done it at House of Blues on Sunset Strip. I've done it at the Raz Room in San Francisco. I've been doing it again in L.A. at Tom Bergen's Tavern, which has been around forever, since the 30s. So it's always different people sharing their stories.
Let's talk about a couple of, that are in the book. I'm thinking of Chef Tenney Flynn of G.W. Finn's in New Orleans. Tell us what he encountered in his restaurant after Katrina went through. He actually left town.
Yes, he did leave. And, you know, he finally got back and he had two restaurants in the French Quarter. He was one of the first ones to reopen. So they just started cooking all this food, just simple stuff, barbecue. They grilled, and all the press and all these people who were there to help evacuate people and all the people who were helping all were so grateful to have a restaurant instead of just eating the MREs.
Yes, the military meals, ready to eat,
so
yes.
He now lives in the French Quarter, but the French Quarter did not get water. So he said he now lives in the French Quarter and he's never leaving. But what an amazing story. I mean, so many, like Drew Ramsey from Hubig Pies, he's in the book, his story, The Pie Man. He's third generation pie man, and they weren't flooded, but they lost so many employees who either died in the flood or left and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
But they had all these pies that they were able to pass out after Katrina because they are perishable. So,
yes.
You know, they needed to give them away to everyone at the Super Bowl and pass out the pies. And which is really sad is Hubig Pies is a 100-year-old company, and they just burnt down this past August. They had a grease fire. So, I mean, not only did they survive Katrina, but now they're trying to rebuild, and they're such an institution. They're these little fried pies, and people love them. They sell them everywhere in Louisiana, at all the gas stations, at the grocery stores. They're as common as a beignet, and everybody loves Hubig Pies. There's nothing better than a Hubig Pie with a glass of milk. So they're struggling to come back.
Some interesting recipes came out of this, too, and that the chef at Antoine's couldn't make turtle soup, so he could get alligator, and the alligator soup remained on the menu. I do want to ask you about, there's a wonderfully quirky story in here by Nell Nolan, who self-confesses is not a cook, but was required as a young child to cook for her siblings on her parents' date night. Can you tell us what the menu was?
Yes. Okay. So Nell is so amazing. She's a society columnist, and she's also an actress, and she had this great story called Pineapple in a Can. She grew up in this beautiful home that people probably know from the movie Benjamin Button's, the Brad Pitt movie. That was the home that she grew up in. And there were seven kids, and her parents once a week went to Commander's Palace, which was next door. If everyone knows, Commander's is the famous, amazing, it's my favorite restaurant in the world. So her parents would go to Commander's with their friends, they're all these other couples. And so Nell and her sister would cook dinner for her siblings, and they would make pineapple from a can and spaghetti from a can, and they would put a sprig of parsley on the plate to make it look pretty. And it's such a great story. And she says she's not a cook. Now, like, she can make reservations. That's her thing.
I do want to ask you the fun question you pose to each person who's in the book, which is, if you were a food, what would you be?
And why?
Yes.
I would be a gourmet chocolate. I come in a gold shiny box with a ribbon on top. Sometimes I'm sweet, sometimes I'm nutty, sometimes a bitter or a tasty combination, but always a treat.
Wonderful. It's fun to read those going through the book. I want to thank you for visiting with us tonight. Delightful to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking with Peggy Sweeney McDonald about her book, Meanwhile, Back at Café du Monde, Life Stories About Food, about which you'll find more information at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.
300 pounds of hungry, down to the house every Sunday. Boil them taters and butter them buns, licking that grease right off of them thumbs. 300 pounds, as tall as he's round, and every